Our guest speaker this morning is Darren Tyron, and Darren will be sharing more about his call and what he is going to be speaking about. I'll let him talk about that. But he is from Campus Crusade, what I would know as Campus Crusade for Christ. Now it is being called CRU, and there are a couple of factors in my life that have placed me here this morning. Sunday school. You know, the wonderful Sunday school program of my home church, those men and women of God who saw something in me have brought me to the pulpit to be here with you today. Campus Crusade is the other. It was just a wonderful time for me in my college life to grow, to deepen, to come to a greater understanding of who Jesus is. And I know when I went to seminary, I had friends who went to Bible college and friends who went to Campus Crusade. The folks who went to Bible college may have had a lot more intellectual wisdom about the Bible. But the people who came out of Campus Crusade or CRU, it's always going to be Crusade to me, they did evangelism. They were active in their faith, and just a wonderful, wonderful program. So, Darren, would you please come and share with us the message today?
Good morning, Concord. How are you? We're doing good. I see smiling faces. That's a good thing. Even on a dreary day, it's great to smile. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I've got to say one thing. I've really appreciated my morning here. You guys are an encouragement to me. I love to see what I would call many seasoned followers of Christ, and that gives me great encouragement to see you all here. My name is Darren Tryon. I have the pleasure of being a missionary with Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU. And my wife Kim and Judah, and my sons Judah and Micah, they'll be here at the 11 o'clock service. Judah and Micah are 3 and 1, and so it's a little hard to get out the door at 7:30 in the morning, if you can imagine. But yeah, we live in Seven Fields, Pennsylvania, down near Cranberry, and we graduated from Geneva College, so just down the road from here. My wife and I are not from here, so Geneva really became a home for us, an oasis of sorts. And yeah, we just stayed. We graduated in 2015. We're married shortly after that, and we have been in ministry since. We studied student ministry at Geneva, and so we are just passionate about seeing young people come to Christ and follow him. As I said, we are missionaries with CRU, and CRU's main mission is to minister to college students, 18 to 22 years old, and we have the opportunity, both Kim and I work with CRU, and we have the opportunity to minister to students in Pittsburgh with an emphasis at the University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon. But my message today is I first want to admit that being a missionary means that I live on mission, right? It's kind of in the word missionary. And if I'm honest, though, I forget or lose sight of God's mission often. And I think that's because I'm a human, and I tend to focus on the immediate things going on in my life. I focus on myself. I focus on my problems, the things that I'm dealing with. I focus on my marriage and what's going on with me and my spouse and how to make things work. If for any of the married people in here, you know what I'm talking about, that there's sometimes tensions and you got to work within them and figure out how to bring harmony back together, right? My children, I will just say, they take up some time in my life. they take up time. And then also my hobbies. I love mountain biking. I love hunting. And so when those seasons come, man, I am all into those. And sometimes those distract me. But another part is that I also sometimes just become afraid to live on God's mission. I become afraid to share the gospel. I think all of us in this room have probably experienced that before. Afraid of what to say, how somebody might respond to us, or if we'll have the right answer, right? Those are kind of some of the things that I struggle with. And I would say most of us, at one point or another, have struggled with these things as well. I think that most Christians have struggled with forgetting the mission of God. So, today I want to encourage you, if you have forgotten the mission of God, I want to encourage you with this. We can do some things to get back on track. But my question is, what do we do? And the only thing that I can find in my life, and I look back on the lives of other followers of Christ, and that's going back to the basics. You have to go back to basics to get on the mission of God. But before we go any further, I'd just like to pray over our time together. Father God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for this family, these brothers and sisters that are here. I ask that you would bless them, bless our time together, and God, would you speak clearly and boldly to us. God, will we be encouraged by your word and your mission. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so when we go back to basics, the starting point must be the gospel, right? The good news of Jesus Christ. Because everything in the Christian life revolves around the gospel. But those of you who know, gospel means good news. Well, with every bit of good news comes what? Bad news, right? We got to get to the bad news. And honestly, we have to know what the bad news is before we can really appreciate the good news, right? And so, I'm going to share the bad news with you, and then I'll get to the good news. So the bad news is this, is that we have rejected God, and our relationship with him is broken. And our rejection of God and building our lives around anything but him is what we call sin. And we show our rejection of God through selfish actions and attitudes, disobeying him, or demonstrating indifference toward him. That's the bad news. And we, right, after that description I just read of the bad news, we all fall into that. All humanity is sinful. Romans 3:23 says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And I think that this, for us, sometimes is either even crushing, the bigger crushing news is that the punishment for sin, even just one, is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. See, there's a penalty in rejecting God. So if the punishment for sin is death, and we're deserving of death because we reject God, what can we do? What can we do? Nothing, right? There's nothing in us that can do anything to restore our broken relationship with God because we have disobeyed God. And that's where the good news comes in. We need somebody to save us. Here's the good news of Jesus Christ. Although we deserve to be cut off from God forever, in his love, God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. And through Jesus, God bridged the gap that separates us from him and provided us a way to be forgiven and restored relationship with him. And so here's the truth, folks. Our response to Jesus determines our relationship with God. Right now, we're broken. We are separated. If we have not placed our faith in Christ, we are separated from God in a broken relationship. But how we respond to Jesus determines our relationship with God. So if we want good news, if you want to receive good news, then you have to agree with God that we are sinful and decide to turn from our sin. Trust God to completely forgive us because Jesus paid the debt for our sin, and then choose to follow Jesus by putting him and his instructions for life first in our lives. We must choose to trust the work of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, so that we can have a restored relationship with God. So that is the good news. That's the gospel. So what do we do with the gospel? After we place our faith in Christ, we're given what's called the Great Commission. Anybody hear of that before? Probably, yep, some head nodding. So Jesus provides his followers a clear mission. Once we have chosen to follow Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, he gives us a mission. And we find the mission laid out in the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels, as well as in the book of Acts. So I'm going to quick go through some of the places that we find the mission of God. And you can just write them down if you want. But the first one is probably the most famous, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So what do we see there? What's the key thing in the mission of God? Make disciples, right? Make disciples. Mark 16, 15 through 16 says this, "And he said to them," Jesus said to them, "go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So, what do we see there? Proclaim the gospel. The Christians, we are supposed to preach the gospel, the good news. Luke 24 is our next passage. Luke 24, 46 through 47. "And Jesus said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And then I also want to take a look at Acts 8, 1. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So what do we see in Luke 24 and Acts 8? Christians are to be witnesses of what Christ has done. Christians are to be witnesses of what Christ has done. And then lastly, the last gospel, John 20, verse 21. "Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Where do we see there? Christians are to be sent into the world with the gospel. So, this is kind of my thesis on this whole message, is that you, whether you're 5 years old or 95 years old, you are commissioned by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to advance the good news, to advance the gospel. You are commissioned by Jesus Christ to advance the good news. No matter how old, no matter frail or strong, you are commissioned by Jesus Christ to advance the good news. And in CRU, or Campus Crusade, we use three words to describe this mission: win, build, and send. Win, build, send. So, in the win category is where we see witnessing, sharing how God has given us hope in our life with others, with college students. My wife Kim had the opportunity to share the gospel with a girl over a video call, actually. And this girl came, she found our website and said, "I would like to talk to someone about Jesus, what Christians believe, because I'm confused." And what she said was her dad was an atheist. Her mom worked at a Presbyterian church. Yeah, a little weird. But what she said was, "I'm just so confused because my sister has kind of sided with my dad and become atheist. But I'm just trying to figure out what I believe." This girl was a freshman at University of Pittsburgh, 18 years old, and trying to figure out what she believes about this world. So Kim had the opportunity to share the gospel with her, walk her through some of the questions that she had, some of the doubts that she had about Christianity. And then she actually was able to invite her to a CRU spring retreat that was only happening 2 days later, and said, "Hey, come, we would love for you to be there." And so that was an awesome opportunity. This girl shows up and is surrounded by a body of believers to encourage her and keep walking with her through this faith, through this new journey. And we also, in CRU, we share the gospel on campus, as Pastor Chris had mentioned. We go out, and I did this week at Slippery Rock. I went to I was kind of doing like a shadow with some other CRU staff at Slippery Rock, and we got to go and share the gospel in the student union. And I spoke with two girls, along with a couple other staff, basically just, what do you believe about the world? What's your perspective on the world? And it was very interesting, their answers. And it kind of resonated with me that this is so important that we share the hope of Christ with young people. So, when is the witnessing part of the Great Commission? And then we have build. That is discipleship, teaching and instructing followers of Christ, and then also preaching, publicly proclaiming the word, or proclaiming the truth of God's word. And so for discipling in Crew, we see student-led Bible studies, which are amazing. I love that we have students leading other students in their journey in Christ. We also, as staff, get to mentor students, pour into them each week, see how they're doing, and then also encourage them with God's truth. Then each week for preaching, we gather as a body of students from Pitt and Carnegie Mellon in the Cathedral of Learning, and we sing songs of praise, and we share a message from God's word. It's a very applicable thing. It's a very welcoming thing. And so, yeah, those are under build. We have discipleship and preaching. And then lastly, send. And sending is equipping and launching believers to share the gospel message to others. And we have a few opportunities within Crew where students can be sent. We have one-year internships or summer internships with Crew, whether those look like actual mission ministry roles, or also it's kind of neat because there are some students that are like, well, I don't really want to do missions, but I have a business degree. And we actually have some office roles that students can be a part of to kind of get a little taste of what it's like working in the business aspect of our missions organization. Also, excuse me, we have summer mission trips, which are awesome. They are 6 to 10 week mission trips. This year, there's a group from Slippery Rock that is going to Palm City Beach, and they're going to spend 10 weeks there. And they're going to basically get jobs while they're there, share the gospel with people, their coworkers, people at the beach. It's really, really awesome. We also have spring mission trips where we can, kind of a shorter period, but we can also invite students to join our spring mission trips. And probably the thing, as Pastor Chris was saying, I love that Crew prepares students to share the gospel in the workplace or if they go to grad school. Like, we are equipping and training students on how to share their faith with others. And it just brings me so much encouragement to see that. We've got a couple students. One is in Chicago working a corporate job. He's sharing the gospel with his coworkers. We have one girl who went to Pitt, is going to grad school at Towson University in Maryland, and she went back home and living with her parents. Her dad's not a believer, and she's sharing her faith with her dad. I mean, this is like to hear the stories of students that come through Crew is so encouraging. But I want to give you a little bit of a current state of where we are at, Kim and I. Right now, there's 80,000 college students across 8 campuses in Pittsburgh. It's pretty crazy. 80,000 college students across 8 college campuses in Pittsburgh. The reality is that we have one missionary with Crew serving Pitt and Carnegie Mellon. We have one missionary on campus right now serving 2 schools. Right now, Kim and I are excited to join in this mission, in this movement of students. And we are right now raising our initial support to be able to be on campus. And our initial support is so that we can do the ministry with college students and also for ourselves be financially stable. And our heart's desire is this, is to meet students where they are, share the hope of the gospel with them, and walk with them as they discover that hope in their life. We want to see a movement of young men and women who are passionate followers of Christ, convicted and equipped to share, to advance the gospel to all people. I want to share a quick message that I received from a partner of ours. I'd emailed him and asked him, how can we be praying for you? And this is what he messaged back. Please pray for my son. He's had somewhat of a faith crisis over the past year. He's an engineering major and got really deep into physics class last year. He has some challenges with the creation story as well as Noah and the flood as an historical event. When Jesus speaks of Noah and the days of the flood, it causes doubt in him. He's been reading and seeking over the past few months. And recently, he rekindled a relationship with his crew leader at Ohio State University, and he's getting his heart and head right. When he told me about getting together with a leader, I told him that I was happy because I had been praying for him. His faith crisis rocked my world, and I couldn't bear the thought of spending eternity without him. But I understand the command to trust and obey, and it was breaking my heart. Pray that his leader will have the right words at the right time, and God will reveal himself to him in a way that allows that big brain of his to process without cognitive dissonance. He has a wonderful heart, and I know that he can be a force for the kingdom. I've known this kid since he was in sixth grade. I've seen him grow in his faith. There's two things that I see from this message. There's a real spiritual war happening on college campuses. And two, I'm so grateful that there's a crew missionary that's able to walk alongside this young man and disciple him. I trust that this young man is not going to be in a faith crisis for very long. And my hope and prayer is that Kim and I would be impacting college students in the same way as we fulfill the mission God has given us. I want to encourage you with this. If we take the mission of God serious, let the gospel change us and compel us through the Holy Spirit. Friends, we're going to get a taste of what heaven looks like. We're going to get a taste of what heaven looks like. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you again for this time. I thank you for this beautiful church family. And I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here. Father, I pray that we would go and live on mission for you. God, would we not be afraid? Would we take the hope that's in Jesus to all people, our families, our neighbors, our children, our grandchildren, college campuses? God, would we take the good news that every person needs to hear to all people? Give us strength and give us just compel us to fulfill the mission, Lord. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for having me.
You know, what Darren didn't say is that, so you've said it in a roundabout way, but to be a crew missionary is that you have to raise your own support. And so people will help him and his wife financially. And so until he raises, it's 100% now, right? You have to be fully funded. And they're not quite yet at that level of being fully funded to be an additional two more staff members at these important schools in our city. If you would like more information on how you could support Darren and Kim, he is going to be outside here, and I'm sure he has some information, or he'll be able to tell you more about how you might be able to help him and his wife be a part of what God is doing here in our community together today.